Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So it's great to be with you guys this evening during this feast of Pentecost. And Pastor Mark will be with us tomorrow night. Praise God. We're going to have a great time with him. Amen. Tonight, I want to share with you just a little principle that I think will set you up for this week. Is that okay? Amen. So one of the things that we see throughout Scripture, that God is a God of promises. God is a God of promises. He makes promises constantly throughout Scripture. Throughout the Old Testament, we see Him making promises. One of the things I love about God is that God also keeps His promises. So we know that He's a promise maker, but He is also a promise keeper. So when God makes a promise, He will make that promise come to pass. Amen. I just love God. I love God so much. I love the way He works with us. And He rebukes us. He sorts us out. Amen. You know, there's a saying that goes, in fact, I think, it's, you know, there's, you know, a kiss or a rebuke from the Lord is better than a kiss from the devil. So many of us would prefer to have a kiss from the devil because it just feels nice. You know, the devil doesn't come with horns. He comes in other ways. Amen. Ways that you would never expect him. So this evening, we're going to get into something here. Let's go to Hebrews 6, verse 13. That'll kind of like lay a little bit of a foundation, and then we'll move into things tonight. And then we'll see what God wants to do. Amen. Hebrews 6, 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. That's pretty powerful. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. One of the things about promises from God that you will come to realize if you have not already realized is that sometimes we have to wait for those promises to come to pass. Now, if you're anything like me, that's not easy. I remember when I was 18 years old getting my first, 19 years old getting my first prophecy about my destiny and the direction God would take my life, and I was ready. I was ready to step into it immediately, but God made me wait many, many years, and I had to go through many, many things during those many, many years. But during that time, God was doing something in me, in my heart, in my life, in my character. He was shaping me. He was changing me. He was turning me into the other man, the one that He wanted me to become. You see, when God comes to you with a promise, He doesn't speak to you the way you are today. He comes to you and He speaks to you the way you will be in the future. When He gives you a promise, He gives you a picture. He gives you a vision, a promise about you somewhere in the future. And most of the time, you'll look much better than you do right now. Amen. You'll find when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon in the wine press, Gideon is in a really, really bad place. In fact, Gideon was really, really threshing. He was threshing wheat, and it was a bad situation. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was feeling really sorry for himself. And God comes to him, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says to him, "O mighty man of valor." Listen, at that moment, he must have thought, who is this guy standing in front of me telling me something that there's absolutely no ways is correct? Do you not see what I'm busy doing? Do you not see the position I'm in right now? And what you need to understand is that oftentimes God will come and speak to you and give you a picture of your destiny, your purpose, the promise that He has for your life, and you can't see it. You can't see it. But what we need to understand is that that destiny and that purpose was already placed inside you. And this is what we don't grasp, is that it was already placed inside you. The Bible says in Jeremiah that I knew you long before you were formed in your mother's womb and ordained you, in his case, to be a prophet. In your case, it's to be whatever it is that God has called you to be. Now, there will come a day where God will give you a glimpse of the future, when you stop worrying about all your issues, when you stop focusing on all your problems, and you begin to serve him, and you begin to do what I taught you this morning, and that is to begin to desire to know his ways. The first thing he will do is give you a picture or a glimpse of who you are in the future. When he comes to you, he normally gives you a picture, normally, not always, he sometimes will do this in different ways, but normally he'll come and give you a picture of what it looks like, and he only gives you the good stuff. And the reason why he doesn't give you all the other stuff is because if you knew what was coming, you wouldn't want to do it. But remember what I said at the beginning, is that when he gives you destiny, when he gives you purpose, everything you need to overcome it is already inside you. Because there's a secret, there's a mystery, there's a treasure, there's a hidden thing that's been placed inside you. Amen. So let's take a look at this morning. I want to give you another scripture real quick. And this kind of relates to what we're discussing today. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Listen, the disciples were with Jesus, and he gives them a promise. Among all the other promises he's given them, he gives them a promise, and he says to them that you must go and you must wait in Jerusalem. You must tarry until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, until you are endued with power from on high. So they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. But I want to show you how powerful that word tarry is. The word tarry in the Greek is the word kathizo. And what it basically means, listen, is to sit down. It means to sit, to remain, to cause to sit. So three of the scholars are saying that it literally means to sit and wait. That's the problem with so many of us. When God gives us a promise, one of the most difficult things for us is to wait. And so while we're busy waiting, we decide God's not moving quick enough for us, so we decide to make the promise happen on our own. Or we decide to do something else. Or we think God no longer is going to honor his word, or maybe it wasn't really from him. And so we move ahead of God and outside of destiny. A great example of this is Abraham. God tells Abraham that he will make him a great nation out of him, and that his wife will have a son. But he can't wait for his wife to have a son, Sarah, who is old. In fact, the Bible suggests that she was so old, there was just no way. She physically could not do it. So what do they decide to do? They decide to make the promise happen on their own. And they go and they step. And basically what happens is Abraham then has a relationship with his concubine, and Ishmael is born. What's very interesting is later on, when God does fulfill the promise and he comes to Abraham, he speaks to Abraham and says to him, "Where is your son? Your only son." Now, what about Ishmael? You see, that wasn't God's promises for his life. So oftentimes when we step out of God's purpose for our life and we do things, God still doesn't see that. He will still make come to pass everything he has promised you. There's a little bit of hope for you. Amen. Tarry, wait. Man, don't tell me that. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Okay. That's how I was when I was a young minister. Man, you see, you look at what you're busy doing, and you think, and this is what I always tell the guys. I say to them, listen, I don't care how anointed you are. Your anointing doesn't impress me. There are far more anointed people than you. There are. There are far more anointed people than me. Thank you for that amen there. But you're right, amen. Okay, so now no one else say amen at this point. Let's just leave it right there, okay? But that's the reality. But God needs to do something in our lives to get us to fulfill the destiny and purpose that He has for us. But we always rush ahead. Are you guys okay? The disciples had to wait in Jerusalem for the promise that Jesus had given them. Can you imagine what it must have been like for them to be in the upper room waiting? Jesus doesn't say, wait so many days, and at this moment, at that time, I'm going to come, and the Holy Spirit will come and sit upon all of you, and you will have tongues of fire, and then we'll move, and then you'll go into the city. They had no clue what was coming. And they were in that upper room, and I can tell you right now, that upper room, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll find out it's a small room. And there was a whole bunch of them in that room, and it was uncomfortable, and it was hot, and there was no AC. And so while they're in this upper room, they have to tarry. In other words, they have to sit down. They have to wait. They have to hold on to this promise that Jesus has given them, because they know that it will come to pass if they wait for it. And so they did. They waited. But while they waited, during that time, God was busy doing something on the inside of them. You must remember that even during or just after Jesus had died, all the disciples scattered. Yes, they'd been with Him, but this was a moment or time for them to reflect. You see, during this time, while we're waiting, God will always be busy with you. He will always be busy doing something on the inside of you. And what I love about it, this particular piece of scripture, which I'm moving way ahead of myself, but that's okay, because we'll see what God wants to do. But what's amazing to me is how the Bible speaks about all of a sudden they're in one accord. They're in one accord. They're together. And for somehow, they just get into one accord. They're busy praying, and then God begins to move. Now, that's a secret. We'll talk about that another day. What you need to understand about God's promises is that when He makes a promise, He is always desiring for somebody to believe. For somebody to take that promise and believe. Now, this is a little bit of a different example, but let's just give. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Noah when God comes to him and says, build me an ark. It's going to rain. Like a big ark. And I want you to put all these animals in there because I'm going to destroy the earth. Yes, brother, you better have some faith when you build that ark. Believing in the promises that God has for us. When God speaks a word and He gives you a glimpse of your future and it doesn't happen immediately or it doesn't begin to play out the way you expect, don't throw it out and don't stop believing. You see, during this Pentecost, God is going to reawaken many of the promises that have been given to many of you because a lot of you have lost hope in your promises. Okay, maybe one of you. Amen. It's for you online. Amen. The Bible says that Abraham, that he patiently endured. He patiently endured and then he obtained the promise. The word patiently endured is one Greek word, makrathemeo, which means to be patient. It means long-suffering. In other words, he had to suffer through getting to the place where he finally inherited his promise. You also, if you have a high call, the highest trees catch the most wind, guys. The highest trees are the ones who always get blown left and right. But let me teach you something really quick. You can also be like the children of Israel who keep going around and around in circles for 40 years because you don't listen. You see, you have to become who He's called you to be. If you're not going to change in the process, you will keep going around the mountain until you're ready to step into what He has for you. The good news, He already knows your end from your beginning, so if He gives you that word, you're going to get there. Come on, somebody. God is a promise-keeping God, a promise-making God. But the question is, are you going to believe His promises for your life? Are you going to take a hold of what He's given you? Are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to wage warfare with your promises? So many times I give a prophecy to somebody and they don't understand it initially. And then a few years later or a few months later, all of a sudden, they're in a situation where now they've got to use their prophecy to fight. And I say to them, and I've done it so many times, I say to them, do you remember the prophecy? Oh, yes, and no, I remember the prophecy. And at the time, they looked at me like I was crazy. I've even gotten phone calls. And then 6 months later, all hell breaks loose, and all of a sudden now they understand. But now you have a sword of the Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have a promise. You have something to fight with concerning what God speaks to you. Amen. Listen, and don't get upset and walk out because you think that God stopped speaking. He didn't. When did God stop speaking? Please tell me. Where does it say in the Bible, and the Lord stopped speaking? It never said that. God is constantly speaking all the time. It must line up with His word, yes. But God is speaking all the time. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus. Jesus said, I will send another one just like me. When Jesus was with His disciples, guess what? He spoke to them. Just like me means the same as me. Just like me means He'll teach you. He'll show you things to come. He will explain things to you. He'll have intimacy with you. He will reveal things to you. But it takes a bit of effort. Amen. We see promises made to Abraham that were only fulfilled generations later. There are people in this room. You are living proof of promises that were given to your grandparents, to your parents. You are living proof of words that were spoken over your parents. Many times I'll give a word or I'll prophesy to somebody concerning their destiny, their future. But specifically, many times I'll prophesy concerning their children. And then they'll get a taste of what God is wanting to do, and then things fall apart again. And when things fall apart again, you have a word that God said that He would raise your child up, or He'll bring your child back. When you have that word, take that word and go to Him and begin to pray and begin to trust. Amen. Okay. John, come here. Felicia, come. Quickly, 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 quickly. For son, I see how in the days gone by, yes, you are like a Moses, says the Lord. For I took you into the wilderness, and you have encountered my glory. You have encountered my presence. And the promises that I have given you, son, they will surely come to pass. For even tonight, this word that I have given the man that stands before you, this word tonight, son, is for you. For in days gone by, you have experienced the pit of betrayal. You have experienced accusations where the enemy came and accused you. The enemy has even come to you, son. Even recently, not long ago, he came to you and he spoke all kinds of accusations against you. He accused you, and they stood in the distance and they pointed the finger at you. And they even said, how can he be a man of God? How can he be like that? He's not real. All these kinds of accusations came up against you, son. But the Lord says, son, have I not chosen you, For many are called, but few are chosen. And son, have I not chosen you? For in that hour, in that day, back in the past, when you stood and you cried out to me and you said, Lord, where should I go? What should I do? You stuck it out, son. You stuck it out. And every time the enemy tried to break you down, and every time, even when you cried out to me in your moment of darkness, when you were all alone and no one was looking, son, I was there with you. And the Lord says, son, destiny is placed on the inside of you, and you will become everything that I have called you to be, says the Lord. For surely, son, your hour is at hand, and you will step into the destiny and purpose that I have for you, and nothing will begin to stop you. Nothing will come against you. Nothing will stand in your way, son. For surely, I have anointed you. I have called you. Surely you stand, says the Lord, in this hour, ready for everything I've destined you to do and everything I've destined you to be, says the Lord. For every evil and negative word that has ever been spoken over you is broken this night. All rejection I cancel and break tonight. For do not worry, says the Lord, for you have said to me, what if I fail again? You have said to me, Lord, what if I step into it and I mess up again? The Lord says, son, my grace is sufficient for you. And do not look to the left or to the right, says the Lord. Look straight ahead of you, son. Look towards your destiny, son. For I have placed an anointing on your life and on your wife's life, and you will fulfill everything. Again, I say to you, son, nothing will stop you. You will fulfill everything I have called you to do. For you have even cried out to me in the days that have gone by recently, says God. You have cried out to me and you've said, when, Lord, when will that day come? When will I step into that calling that you have for me? And the Lord says, now, son, now is your season. And you will step into it, son. And you will fulfill it, says the Lord. And Father, I pray this night, in the name of Jesus, that nothing will harm them, that nothing will come against them and succeed. I ask, Father, that you will place your angels around them. I ask, Father, that every word that has been spoken over them will come to pass in the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Now, Father, I pray that a mantle will come upon them tonight in this place. An anointing will come upon them, Lord, so that they will fulfill what they must in the days that lie ahead. For I see lives getting changed. I see lives getting touched. I see people getting raised up. Yes, says the Lord, I will put an anointing in your mouth and you will speak words of life and you will speak words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And you have said, what about that prophetic anointing? And the Lord says, yes, son, I will place that prophetic anointing on your life, for you have desired it. That's what kept you here, says the Lord. And now, says God, you will step into that prophetic anointing that you have so desired. For now, son, I see like a book, John, and that book with the word of God is all, and the words are lifting off the pages before my very eyes. And I see how you sit and the words come off the pages and they're so alive, John. And the Lord says, I will take my word, son, and I will give you revelation. I will give you illumination and I will give you insight, says God. And you will speak forth the mysteries, the secrets, the hidden things, son. Yes, I will use you, says God, in this hour, in this time, says the Lord. Now somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout. Give the Lord a clap and a shout. Now, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Yeah! Amen. It's amazing how I can hear the words that came to him as a young man when God began to call him. And the enemy comes along the way and tries to break you down and tries to stop you from stepping into what God has for you. Listen, the only advice I can give you, church, is just wait. Often on your journey, you will have to do the very thing that Abraham had to do with his promise. Before you truly step into it, you may have to put it on the shelf. You may have to serve. You may have to give your life. I don't know what God's plan for you is. But I know that on that journey, there are times where I remember where I had to serve. Man, I was so anointed. Yeah, I was anointed. I wish I was anointed like that still. Back then, I used to think I glowed in the dark. And God had to teach me. He had to humble me. He had to take me to the bottom. Why? Because there was still so much of me left. Listen, now I'm at the point where I just stand and watch and say, oh God, you just do your thing. You just do your thing, Father. And I just thank you for any opportunity that you give me. Because I've realized, guys, that it's all Him and not you. And as soon as it becomes about you and yourself and your own anointing and your own ministry and your own purpose and all your, you and you, well, you know, I'm called. Well, you know, I'm anointed. Well, you know, I need to step into it. Well, I need to. No, you need to wait. And the waiting is painful. But you see, when you step into it in the right season, you will have the grace to step into it. When you step into something and you don't have the grace, you will not make it. Amen. On your journey to fulfilling destiny, you will have to learn how to deal with offense. You will have to learn with making mistakes. You will have to learn how to deal with God dealing with your character. Because as I said in the beginning, it's not hard to find anointed people, but it's hard to find faithful people, people who have character, people who God can use even when they don't have the spotlight. For lack of a better word. You see, the reality is that on your journey to fulfilling destiny, to get the substance out of you, oftentimes a pressing is required. Let's talk about a grape. Now, I'm not telling you to go and drink wine, okay? Just relax, okay? But if you want a good wine, what's more valuable, the wine or the grape? The wine is more valuable. But in order to get that juice out of the grape, you have to press the grape. You have to squash the grape. It's the same with an olive oil. In order to get the olive oil out of the olive, it requires a pressing. It requires a squeezing. And in the time, in the season between you getting your promise and you stepping into destiny, you are going to get squeezed. The quickest sign of someone who's not ready for destiny is offense. They take offense so quickly. It's very quiet in Vera Beach. Listen, I've been offended before. Cost me 6 years of my ministry. And what happens with so many of us is we get offended. So we go from one church to the next one, to the next one. Because maybe this pastor won't offend me. Maybe this pastor won't offend. Listen, everywhere you go, God will make sure you get offended. Until you deal with that issue. Can somebody say amen? Come on. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 8. I don't know what's happened to my sermon. I'm not even anywhere. I don't even know where I am. But let's just go. Amen. 2 Corinthians, all John and Felicia's fault. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. Listen, you are going to go through some stuff in order for Christ to truly live inside you, in order for you to truly become like He is, in order for you to truly get to the place where you recognize that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And every time you lay hands on the sick and they recover, it had nothing to do with you. If we look at it, it's so amazing because Abraham had a promise. He had to believe that promise before it started to come to pass. Moses had to have faith when God gave him a promise. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Moses to believe that he would be able to go back to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh with a staff? When God gives you a promise, you have to believe it. I believe this with all of my heart. I remember when I got my first prophecy, all He did was confirm what was already inside me. I knew it was true, and I fought with it. I desired it. I wanted it. I cried for it. I wept for it. I prayed for it. I seeked it. It was part of me. It was who I was. It was everything I was. But I was not yet that person. I was on my journey to becoming that person. I'm not there yet. Listen, I'm still very much on my journey. There are things God has promised me that I know I have not stepped into yet. Why? Because I'm not ready. And I'm happy to admit it. If this is all there is, I'm disappointed. I want more. Amen. Some of you will have to be just like Joseph, where God will give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. He'll give you a purpose. And all of a sudden, the next thing, you'll wake up in a pit of betrayal. And then you'll think to yourself while you're sitting in prison in Egypt, that how is it possible that that dream that God gave me will come to pass? You see, sometimes it's in that prison. It's in that dark place. It's in that place where everything seems to be as far from the promise as possible that God will begin to bring it alive again. And then all of a sudden, listen, then God will give you the ability to start to see, to start to interpret dreams, to start to have vision, to be able to step into it. But instead of being so concerned about reaching the promise, you don't see Him ever whining about it. And He had a lot to whine about. But as destiny begins to unfold, He begins to be faithful in every step of the way. And then the day finally comes where His brothers bow down before Him. Isn't it amazing? Is this okay, guys? I can only imagine what it must have been like for David when Samuel rocks up in town. His dad thinks to himself, well, let me call all your brothers because that's definitely not you. There's no way. If they're coming to look for a king, son, it ain't you. It'll be all your other brothers. So he first brings all the other brothers and they walk before Samuel. And Samuel, who's the great prophet, the great guru, stands and looks at them and says to the Lord, this is the one, Lord. And God says, no, because God does not see as we do. You see, that's the problem. We always look at the gifts and the talents, the abilities, the credentials. But God doesn't look at that. God always looks at the heart. Has your heart changed? Is your heart changeable? Is your heart open? Are you going to be able to be corrected? Are you going to be able to get to that place where He can crush your heart so much that when you get to that place, all you can do is cry out and say, Father, Father, I need You. I'm desperate for You. Listen, those are the kinds of people God is looking for to use. Look at David, who then gets chosen to be the king. He gets anointed. Listen, when you get anointed with a horn of oil like that, it is an incredible moment in your life. When He anoints you, listen, you're going to be a king. You're going to be a prophet. You're going to be an evangelist. God's going to use you this way and that way. You're going to change the world. You're going to go to the nations, blah, blah, blah. And the next morning, you wake up alone in your room. And you think to yourself, how on earth is that going to happen? And then in the life of David, we see persecution after persecution. He goes and he slays a giant. He's the big hero. And then all that happens is the king wants to kill him because of jealousy. And then his own men want to kill him. Doesn't sound like fun now, does it? But the day comes where he steps into destiny and becomes the king. And even as the king, God still has to deal with him, as you all know. Amen? So there's a couple of examples. Let me give you one or two more and then we'll move on. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? The disciples are promised that the Holy Spirit will come, but they have to wait for it. They have to wait in that upper room. In John 16, verse 7, it says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will send another Helper to you. The promise, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And let's have a look at how it happens. Let's go to Acts 2, verse number 1. What has this got to do with Pentecost? Well, here we go. Acts 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's amazing to me is in this moment, when this promise comes upon them, and this is what you need to understand, we all have this promise available to us. God has given every single one of us destiny and purpose. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when He comes upon you, He changes you into the other man. You must understand, it's at that moment when Simon becomes Peter. It's at that moment when Paul has that encounter and the Holy Spirit comes upon him when he gets baptized. He has that encounter. He's no longer, what's his name? Saul. His name is now Paul. There we go. Sorry, I'm in some other century right now. So what happens is when the Holy Spirit, when the promise comes upon you, you get changed into the other man. Every one of us will have a day where the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And this promise is for all of us. You can have Him come upon you now. Most of you have already. But what you need to understand is when He comes upon you, He comes upon you so that you can fulfill your destiny and your purpose. So that everything God has given you is already inside you and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you on the way. My advice to you is listen to Him when He speaks to you. Listen to Him. Listen to that unction, that voice when He whispers in your ear and He says, go left, don't go right. When He says, stop, don't keep going. And it's so hard for us guys because we just want to get to the finish line as quick as possible. But what I want to show you is we see how the disciples mess up on this road. All the way to this point, we see how they mess up, how they make mistakes, how they scatter, how they deny Christ, how they all do all this stuff. But when the promise comes and when you step into it, you become the other man. And we see Peter become something unbelievable. But the reality is that they all had to wait. And in that waiting, the whole time they were walking with Jesus, they were being developed, they were being tested, they were being tried, they were becoming the person that He desired for them to be. Don't give up. Don't give up on your promises. Don't give up on what God has spoken to you and said that you would become. There are people sitting in this room. I sense the destiny. And I sense the discouragement because you feel like it's not going to happen. You feel like it's too late. You feel like you've missed it. But I want to tell you tonight that every word that God has spoken over you will come to pass. And this Pentecost will be a Pentecost. Watch. I have no idea what Pastor Mark's speaking about. I have no idea. And I can guarantee you he's not listening to me right now. He's driving from the airport. You watch how this week you will be ignited. You will be awakened. And the secret that's in you will just become alive again. You haven't missed it, Felicia. You haven't missed it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your promises. Don't give up on your destiny. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep believing. And God will fulfill His promises in your life. Listen, I know this. I feel it in my spirit. The question is, listen to me now carefully. Are you going to believe it? Are you going to choose to believe it? Let's pray. Father, tonight in this place, keep that sound going. I thank you for the anointing that is here tonight, Lord. Father, for I sense a strong sense of destiny tonight in this place, in the lives of so many sitting here. So many that have become disheartened, discouraged, Father. For the enemy has desired so strongly to be a dream killer. But Father, I know, and even tonight, I prophesy to the dry bones in this house. You that has lost touch or even lost the vision or sight that you have for the promises that God has given you. I see this evening in this place, I see the dry bones, and I speak to them tonight in Jesus' precious name. I speak to your promises, I speak to your destiny, I speak to your purpose, and I prophesy to the breath concerning everything God has spoken over your life tonight in the name of Jesus the Christ. I prophesy it this evening in Jesus' name that you will be the man and woman of God that you are called to be, and nothing will stop you. I come against offense. I come against rejection. I come against disheartenment. I come against the plans of the enemy. I come against accusations. I come against every single accusation, and every time you've given up or fallen or made mistakes, I come against the accuser of the brethren, and I see him standing. Even now, I see him standing and getting all angry as he points the finger and he says, but what about this and what about that? And I see how the Lord says, I will raise up a standard against you, for you are nothing in my sight, and everything that I have spoken concerning them must come to pass, will come to pass, is going to come to pass in the name of Jesus the Christ this evening. Can somebody get up and take this word for themselves? Can somebody get up and say, this is me. I'm going to take this word. My promises will come to pass. My promises will come to pass in the name of Jesus the Christ. Somebody give him a shout. Come on, somebody give him a shout. Yeah. Father, tonight, I pray for the prophets. I pray for the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers that are sitting in here tonight. Even those that are watching online. Yes, I pray for you. For surely the hour is at hand, says the Lord, where I will bring completion to all things. I will bring a completion, a oneness. I will raise up the body as it is supposed to be in this hour, says the Lord. For I will raise up many in this hour, and they will go out in the power of my might by my spirit, says the Lord. And there will be a true expression. A true expression, says God, for they will always point the finger upwards towards me, and they will not look towards themselves and their own anointings and their own abilities, for I'm raising a generation, says the Lord, of true worshipers, of true worshipers. I'm raising a generation of prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists in this hour, says the Lord, and their focus will be on my heart. Their focus will be on my ways. Their focus will be on me, says the Lord. Yes, yes, even in this house, says God, I will raise you up and you will become everything that you are destined to be, says the Lord. Now who will believe? Who will believe? Who will take this word and believe? Who will believe? Who will believe? Who will believe? I prophesy to you, O son of man. I prophesy that you will become everything that I have said you will be. Yes, I will put an evangelistic and a prophetic anointing on your life. Yes, I will, says the Lord. And I will raise you up, son. I will raise you up in the days that lie ahead. And do not look at your mistakes. Do not look at the times where you failed, says God. For surely you are a man after my heart, says the Lord. And so, Father, I give you praise tonight. For the enemy comes to steal our dreams, to steal our destiny. But, Father, I thank you even tonight that we are somewhere in the future and we look much better than we do right now. Because, Father, you will keep your promises. All we have to do is believe and seek you with all of our hearts, and it will come to pass. I thank you for these precious people as you've set us up for this Pentecost, for this feast of Pentecost, Father. And you will move mightily this week, and we will give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father. I pray even now for Pastor Mark as he is arriving probably at his hotel, Father. I pray that you will give him rest this evening and prepare him for what he is going to do this week, Father, in your name. Father, I know that the enemy has tried so hard to keep him from coming because you have a great plan for this church, for this house this week, Father. And we will give you all the glory and the praise. And we love you so much, Lord. We are so thankful, so grateful for everything that you have done. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit be with every single one of you precious people. Get ready, church. Get ready for this week. Get ready for what God is going to do. All the glory and the honor and the praise, Father, belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.